Well, hello.
I'm your host, Emily McKay. We are going to be talking about something that has been very common in the emails that I've been receiving. I would say a good 70% or more of the emails I have a very common thread, and that is having control over your dating life. So often, we tend to think that as women, we have to sit by the phone and wait for the guy to ask us out, and that he calls all the shots and where we go and at what time. And when the relationship is going to pursue forward, we have to wait for him to ask us to marry him. But is there anything that we can do to have some measure of control over our own dating life? Ladies, yes, there is. You can take control over your own dating life. So let's get started. Women who don't have control over their dating lives oftentimes fall under two different categories, one or the other. The first category is cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is not wanting to accept fact when it's in front of you. Here's a good example. Hypothetically, let's say you were dating a man. He is really sweet, very kind. He seems to be everything you want him to be. And then the evidence comes into place that he's married. Then he gives you the excuse, well, we're separated and we're in the process of getting a divorce. And then you choose to believe him. Going along with his hypothetical story, you go along your daily life, some time passes by, then you find out he's still living with his wife. And he gives you the excuse that we're still in the middle of a divorce, but we cannot afford to have separate living arrangements. So for now, we live in the same house. She lives on her half of the house, and I live on my half of the house. Months and months go by, and nothing changes. And then you want to talk to his wife. And he gets upset and comes up with another story. Look, I can't have you talking to my wife because if you do, that will mess up the whole divorce proceedings and I will lose everything. I don't want you messing it up because you will complicate my life by doing that. Do not talk to my wife. Cognitive dissonance would cause a woman to ignore all these clues, all these facts that lets her know that he has no intentions on leaving his wife. In the process of wanting to ignore these facts, by ignoring these facts, this enables her to be able to continue that relationship with him, believing that everything's perfectly fine, that things will work out between her and him. Now, the second category goes to the extreme on the other side. Instead of believing everything and wanting to believe everything despite the facts, the extreme opposite of that is extreme distrust. Not being able to believe anything a man tells you. He could go as far as to tell you how beautiful you are. And your reaction may be, what does he want? I'm sure he's not telling me the truth because he's just saying that to get something from me. Or being jealous all the time for no reason at all because a person may think that men, all men are out there, are going to cheat. So therefore, whatever they say, they must be lying about it. Somewhere between the first category and the second category of women, there has to be a balance. When that balance has been achieved, that's when you have control over your dating life. Now let's talk about control. Let's define that a little clearer. What does it mean to be in control? Does it mean that you get to decide what restaurants to go to, when you're going to have him ask you to marry him, when your relationship's going to move forward, and what you expect and want out of him, regardless of what his feelings are? Is that the type of control that I'm referring to? Well, no, not really. What we're talking about when it comes to control is not wearing the pants in the relationship. Rather, it's being in control of our own self and being in control over what happens in our own lives. Here's a great example. Picture a card game or even a game with dice in it, and especially one that requires some strategy. It's up to you to make decisions and to control where your game pieces or how the game's going to be played out in regards to how you're going to win. However, what you don't have control over is the dice or the cards that you might draw. Comparing that to dating, if a man was that pair of dice and you're just trying to get your game pieces around a board to get to your finish line, you have control over which pieces are going to move and when you're going to bring your pieces out and when they're going to stay. You get to decide how you want to strategize on your game. But the man has his own feelings, his own thoughts, his own way of doing things. You can't control that, no more than you can control a set of dice. But the way we handle ourselves makes a huge difference on how men will react to us, how they're going to respond to us. This takes us into the next point, having self-control, or rather, having inner game. Inner game is how you should be feeling on the inside, your whole persona, and how that persona should come out of you with confidence, with clarity, understanding who you are, what you expect, and how to convey that to everybody else successfully so that you don't push people away, but at the same time, you're not forcing them to do something they don't want. Instead, because of that inner game, you're creating the desire in other people to want to be with you, to have control over our dating lives. If you can't control your own self, how can you control anything else? It's not possible. It's like trying to row a boat without the oars. You're not going to get very far. So let's get a handle of the inner game and talk about this. The first and foremost, a woman with options. This would be doing what you want to do with your dating life, making the decisions to whether you want to date somebody or not date them, whether you want to date multiple people, or whether you want to wait for a few months or a few weeks before you date somebody else. This is having complete control over the decisions you want to make regarding your dating life because you know that you have that option available to you. You see, when a man understands that you have options, he understands that you're not going to hang around when he dumps everything on you, when he starts to mistreat you. He understands that if he were to do that, you're not going to put up with being mistreated, and therefore you're going to end the relationship. That in itself is going to create a healthy fear in him to want to treat you respectfully. It's going to create more than just that. Because you have options, there's competition. He has to make sure that you're not going to develop a desire to want to leave and date other men. Or if you're seeing other men, he's going to want for you to pick him, or perhaps choose him, to be in an exclusive relationship. Competition is healthy. Men and women alike want to date someone or be with someone who is desirable, not just to ourselves, but to our friends and our family. We want the guy we're seeing to be attractive to everybody. We want to know we got a great guy and that everybody else sees him as a great guy. Men feel no differently than we do. They want to know they're with a great woman. They want their guy friends to see the same thing. They want their guy friends to look at you and go, wow, he's one lucky guy. And that comes from developing that competition for him to realize you have options, but you're choosing to be with him. Something that's contrary to this thought. Some people think, well, if I'm dating other guys, then he's not going to be interested in me because he doesn't want competition. Ladies, men are very much attracted to women who are capable of dating anyone they want to. And when you choose to be with him, he feels honored by this. And it's amazing how many men are perfectly okay with dating you and you seeing other men. Now, the flip side to this is having one-itis. I cannot tell you how many women I talk to and men, my husband talked to a lot of men in the same situation. This goes both for men and women. One-itis is when you're interested in one person and one person only. And unfortunately, when I refer to one-itis, I'm talking about something that goes in one direction. You're giving your heart and soul to somebody who is not returning it back to you. They have no interest in you and are not showing any desire to want to be with you. They're not feeling the warm fuzzies for you. But yet, one-itis still causes a woman to keep at it, regardless. The thought of dating anybody else, or the thought of moving on to somebody else who would like to date her, is unthinkable. And instead, puts more energy, more power, in trying to force this man to have feelings for her. That's what I call handing over your power. 100% of your control of your dating life over to one person. Worse, I've seen women do this with men who they've never even met. They see him at work, but never even said so much as a hello to him, but are totally head over heels for him, believing that this is the man she wants to spend the rest of her life with. If a man were to know this about her, he'd be creeped out. and oftentimes he has a clue that she is very much interested in him. But because she's so stuck on him in that way, he's developed a disinterest. Another way to hand over your power through a one-itis system is by using phrases such as, "You're my everything. I can't live without you. I can't imagine life without you. I would just die if you left me." There's a woman who came from another part of the country into the United States. Her father had passed away, and it was just her and her mom. Here in the States, her mother passed away, so it left her by herself here. The man that she started dating was her everything. So if she lost him, she said, "I would lose everything." And he felt really guilty for her. He felt if he were to leave her, then he'd be responsible for what happens to her. But he didn't want to stay with her, but he felt like he'd have to commit to her eventually. How sad it would be for him to marry this woman, even though he had no loving affection towards her, strictly out of obligation for her well-being. I know I would not want to be that woman personally. Not that being by myself is a bad thing, but to have a man who doesn't love me to marry me because he felt responsible for my feelings. That's what you call losing control of your dating life. One-itis is so dangerous. More than that, because of giving over your control to one man and giving yourself completely to him kills the desire to be with you. It's the same concept as getting kills wanting. Once he has you and he has not had to work for you, he no longer has that desire for you. It's not that he does it on purpose. It's just part of human nature. We want what we cannot have. So he has to know that he has to continuously work for you, that he constantly has to treat you good. Otherwise, if you're a woman with options, you're going to leave. You're not going to put up with anything less than good. Or for that matter, hopefully you would put up with nothing less than great. So to avoid killing any spark of interest, and for that matter, in order to create that spark of interest, never give over your power to a man 100%. Never give yourself totally to a man. You always need to keep your independence, your own self-worth, your own opinions, your own values. If he believes one thing, don't go, "Well, okay, I guess I'll change my beliefs." Here's a great example. Religion. When you meet somebody and he happens to be of a different religion, it's easy to give up what you believe so the two of you can be in the same religion. So you give up all your beliefs and change them just to make him happy. Let's go to another scenario of how you can give yourself completely. If a man likes big, giant breasts, and the woman he meets, let's say you or a friend of yours, don't quite have very big breasts, and you don't quite have the body type that you think he probably wants, so you go for a breast surgery, go for liposuction, you do everything to be what you think he wants you to be. You change your looks, you cater to every whim that he could possibly want. Because now he has you. He owns you. Getting kills wanting. For whatever reason, he's no longer interested. Women do this all the time, and for some reason, they find that they end up alone or end up with a man who's not treating them right. Because he's not interested in her. He's lost that affection for her. Always keep yourself independent. You want to create value. That's part of your inner game. How do you create value? How do you help a man realize how valuable you are? First of all, you start with yourself. You have to see yourself as valuable. That includes your time. Stay busy. Do something. Have a calendar. Make sure that calendar is filled up with something, even if it's work. Because so often, you have a woman sitting by the phone Friday night or Saturday night waiting for the guy that she's interested in to call her. "Hey, how about we go out tonight? I have some free time." "Great, let's go." But when it comes time to say, "Well, let's get together next week," "Oh, I'll get back with you on that." This happens because she's available to him 24/7. He can call her anytime and she'll be there. He can email her anytime, she'll be there. He gets lonely, he can call her. If he feels like he needs his sexual urges satisfied, if that's the type of relationship she has, he'll call because he knows she will meet his needs. But when it comes time to planning things and making the relationship move forward, he stalls it because he knows you're there today, you'll be there next week, you'll be there next year. And I find some women who are there 5 years from now. He can keep stalling you and keep you in this pattern, this holding pattern, because you have not created a value for your time or a value on yourself. and he hasn't either, because you haven't developed it. But if you stayed busy, and he has to understand that if he calls you Saturday night and he got your answer machine, he's going to wonder, where are you? What are you up to? So you're creating a value. Somebody else might be having fun with you. The woman with options. A woman creating competition. The woman who doesn't have one-itis, who's totally dependent upon him. The woman who has value because she's not contributing 24/7 of her time to him. Which means he's going to have to start scheduling time with you if he wants to spend time with you. Here's another way to handle that. Let's say it's Wednesday night, and the guy you're interested in or in a relationship with calls you. He says the business arrangements that he had set up for his business meeting has canceled for Thursday. How about we go out on Thursday night? If this is something that's routine, this is how you can change it. And this will develop some interest, by the way. Try using this technique, not just in your dating life, but even in your real world life. Give two options that you can live with, and this is how it's done. You can reply by saying, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun, but you know, I have plans that night. I tell you what, I have some time available on Saturday, and I also have some time available on Wednesday. Which one of those would you prefer? And then he can pick one. Try this as often as you possibly can. You'll be amazed how you're going to instantly feel empowered, and this can be true in many aspects of your life. Give two options that you can live with. I'll even take it down to simpler terms. When my son was really little, I think 2 or 3 years old, and he wanted to sleep with mom and dad. Well, that was not an option I was willing to live with. No more than you would want to live with whatever options some men are willing to give you. How are you going to deal with that? Again, reuse this scenario because this is going to apply not just in your dating life, but in other aspects. If you can control other parts of your life this way, you'll have your dating life controlled that way too. So I gave my son two options I can live with. Okay, son, your options are, you can sleep in your bed, or you can sleep on the couch. No, but I want to sleep with mom and dad. Again, restate your stance on this. This is where you exert your independence, your ability to be yourself. This is where you don't give in to a person 100%. You restate your position. No, son, you can sleep on the bed or you can sleep on your couch. I had to say this 3 times before it clicked. Oh, okay, those are my options. Well, in that case, I choose the couch. We do this a few times a night until he finally realizes those are his only 2 options, the bed or the couch. And he bounced back and forth, depending on his decisions. Men are not any different. Life is not any different. If a man wants to take up your Friday nights, and you're not willing to or not in a position to because you either have to work or you have kids, or for that matter, who knows, maybe there's somebody else that you're more interested in. State your position. I cannot go out that night with you. However, we can do this or that. We can go out on this day or that day. We could go hiking or we can stay at home, watch TV. Again, 2 options you can live with. It's not controlling your relationship. It's controlling your life. Because he has the option to exercise the right to say, I can't do that either. And leave it at that. You're giving him options. Let him sit on it for a while and think about it. Like I said, you may have to do this several times over. I remember I told you, we went through this on that same night 3 times. I had to repeat myself before it got through his head that he only had 2 options. And the problem was solved. So in your relationship, you can give your boyfriend or partner a choice. It's this or that. Some people teach this as a way of pushing somebody away or drawing them towards you. And I don't believe in playing games, but you do have to have the ability to have clarity about yourself, the ability to express yourself confidently, respectfully. And by having this inner game developed, being a woman with options, being able to create a healthy competition, being able to understand when you're starting to get stuck on one person to an extreme that is not healthy. Being interested in one person is not the same as having one-itis. Choosing somebody and being interested in them and liking them and having them reciprocate the same interest is healthy. But I'm referring to one-itis when it's one-directional, when it's not returned. Getting kills wanting. Never hand over your power 100% to one man. Always stand your position. And one way to stand your position is giving options that you can live with. Don't give up your religion. Don't give up your beliefs or yourself. Create value. You do this first by working with yourself, understanding that you're valuable, your time is valuable. Don't waste 5 years with one person when it's not going anywhere, when your goal is to get married and have kids. Another way to have inner game is to stop seeking approval from men. Approve of yourself first and leave it at that. You don't need a man to think you're beautiful. You don't need a man's approval. And you don't need to work for it. He either sees you as wonderful or he doesn't. But by developing your inner game, that in itself will be able to create intrigue. Men aren't interested in women that they can push around and do what they want with. Yes, he may sleep with a woman like that, but he's not going to have that emotional love attachment to her like he would if he respected you because he had to work for you, because it didn't come easy for him. And this isn't about playing games, it's just human nature. Another part of creating value. If your expectations are a little on the low side, demand more of the qualities you want from a man. Evaluate the situation open-mindedly. And sometimes we don't realize that our expectations of a man isn't quite where it should be. For example, I get emails that say, "Wow, this man is everything I've ever dreamed of. He's just so wonderful, so kind, so sweet." And then in the next sentence, she lets us know how horrible he's been treating her. "Well, you know, he said he was going to take me out next week, but he forgot to call me and didn't even bother showing up. Or he left me at the club by myself and I had to figure out how to get a ride to the house. And then he's interested in this other girl, but you know, I'm sure he's not really that interested in her, but he just keeps seeing her from time to time and eventually he's going to drop her and see me, but he's really a great, wonderful guy." A great and wonderful guy will not treat you like dirt. A great and wonderful guy isn't going to be exclusive with you and then behind your back date other women. A great and wonderful guy isn't going to be married and dating you at the same time. If you say he's everything I've ever wished and dreamed of in a man, he's great and wonderful, your expectations of a man and his qualities are not high enough. I challenge you to raise the bar, expect more, and go out there and find a great guy who meets those expectations. Don't settle for less than that. Evaluate truly if the standards you have set for yourself in regards to a man, are they high enough? And does he truly, honestly meet those standards? Another standard to be expecting. Is he doing what he says he's going to do? Or is he flaky? Is he calling you when he says he's going to call you? Or is he flaking out on dates and canceling them whenever he feels like it? Don't give a man the option or permission to get away with it. Make a stand and stick by it. Don't make dating you an easy thing for him. Don't make it to where he doesn't have to work, yet you're just simply there when he decides it's convenient. He can date all the other women he wants, and then you get the leftovers, because he's definitely not going to see you as valuable, because you haven't seen yourself any more valuable than just crumbs. Another part to enter game is being able to discern when somebody is putting little to no effort in the relationship. If you're always doing the calling, if you're always the one trying to initiate the date or the times when you're going to get together, then you're doing all the work. Inner game understands that you have to allow the other person an opportunity to express their affections for you. By backing off and giving them the gift of missing you and giving him the opportunity to do something for you, to initiate the next contact. The next plans is whether he's going to cook for you or take you out to eat. Allow him to put some energy in the relationship. Also, allow him the opportunity to call you. Now, if this means going 2 weeks without speaking to him, then let it go 2 weeks without speaking to him. But when he calls you, let it be known that you're not happy with that. This is where you're going to give him options again. "Look, if you want to continue seeing me, you know, calling me every 2 weeks isn't going to be acceptable." Or you could take the other road. "Well, I'm sorry, but you know, I've already made plans for that weekend. I haven't heard from you in 2 weeks, so I had to do something." What you're doing when you do this isn't playing games. You're keeping control over your dating life, keeping control over your calendar, and keeping control over what you will not tolerate. Men respect that. Men crave that. Just as much as we crave men to take control over certain situations. Men want you to show and demonstrate your self-worth and respect for yourself. Because he will give you that respect when you respect yourself, when you demonstrate it that way. But that covers inner game within itself. When you apply inner game, don't worry about losing the man. Sometimes it seems counterintuitive that you're pushing him away, that you're not answering his phone calls, or that you're going to make yourself busy when he's actually available to see you. And sometimes it's easy to think that if I spend more time with him, he's going to be more interested in me. He's going to like me better. He's going to get to know me better. And he can't help but love me because he spent this much time with me. It doesn't work that way. By having this inner game, applying these rules, and even though it feels like you're pushing him away and that he's going to lose interest in you and he's going to leave, applying this, even though it's counterintuitive, is one of the only ways to create that spark or to keep that fire lit and to prevent it from burning out. If you want to save a relationship, try these techniques. You'll be amazed. At first, you'll meet with resistance. It may not feel pleasant. It may not go the way you want it. Give it a few days, even a couple weeks. If there's any possibility of him truly wanting to be with you and he's truly interested in you, he's going to test the waters and see if you're going to cave in and give in. Take your stand and stand by it. And you'll be amazed how many times they'll turn around and go, "I'm sorry, baby. You're right." Try it. Give it the opportunity to see that your inner game really does work. The next point when it comes to having control over your dating life is understanding some concepts of how people interact together, especially when it comes to the world of trust. Remember, people who don't have control over their dating lives fall into two categories, and they're usually pretty extreme. Either they're going to totally trust everything everybody tells them, by choice usually, or they're going to take the other extreme and distrust everybody all the time. Here are some reasons for why that happens, and understanding it will really help you in getting more clarity and letting that work in harmony with your inner game. A myopic view of things is us throwing our ideas, thoughts, feelings, the way we would respond to something upon somebody else. Not purposefully, but we do it naturally because we have no other basis to think otherwise. We can't get in somebody's head and understand what their thinking processes are, how they react to things, why they react to things the way they do. We just simply think the way we do it is the right way or the most sensible way. So we just assume everybody's going to react in the same manner. For example, if you're just a wonderful sweetheart of a person, which I believe the good majority of the people on this earth are, being that you are a great, kind-hearted person, I'm going to give you some scenarios. And it's hard to picture how anybody could do these things. Bear with me here. Scenario 1. You like this guy, but at the last minute, he cancels a date. He calls you or text messages you, leaves you a message. You didn't get to talk to him. "Hey, I didn't get to see you today, but, you know, I can't see you at 9 o'clock. Wait a minute. I've already gotten all dressed up. What's going on?" You turn around, you pick up the phone, and you call him. A woman answers the phone, and it sounds like they're having a really great time back there. And he's busy, and he didn't come to the phone. That's really suspicious and strange, don't you think? When you do get around to talking to him, he tells you, "Well, that was my sister, and she came into town unexpectedly, and I forgot all about our date. I'm really sorry." The first inclination is to want to believe him. After all, the story would be ludicrous if it wasn't true, and what person is actually going to believe that? And if no one's going to believe it, why even bother trying to tell somebody that? So obviously it has to be true, because I wouldn't dare think to tell somebody that, because I know that they won't believe me. That's scenario 1. Let's go a little bit further and talk about scenario 2 here. You're dealing in a long-distance relationship. The guy tells you how much he loves you, adores you. When you do see each other, he takes you out on the most wonderful and romantic dates. You have fun together, you laugh, you play, you talk to each other on IM all the time, you're on the phone all the time with him, and you just cannot wait to see him the next time. And he's always busy. You know, you may go a week without talking to him because he's always working. After all, he has a job that requires him to travel to lots of different places, and he's always in meetings. He's always having to take clients out to dinner. Either he's in Houston, or he's in New York, or he's in Chicago, but he's always doing something. He's always going and running around. But he's just so wonderful to you. Which makes sense because, you know, if you were in his shoes, you'd be doing the same thing. However, we're only seeing things from one perspective. A myopic view would be putting your thoughts and feelings onto somebody else. Let's take that second scenario another step further. You discover that on his travels to these other cities, that he has arranged the same setup in every city that he has with you. In every city, there's that wonderful woman who believes that she's the only love of his life, and that they have fun and laugh and play and just have the greatest dates together. How heartbreaking. And to make matters worse, you discover he has a wife. Wow. I would never ever think to do that to somebody. Would you? Of course not. Why would we question a man who we are dating on a long distance relationship who travels a lot? Why would we question his authenticity to want to be exclusive with us? The fact that he is in a position to have multiple women in his life. And for that matter, why would we even call into account that there's a possibility he might have a wife in his own hometown? The reason is because through a myopic view, you wouldn't think to do that. That's unthinkable. But yet, people can and do that very same thing. Being open to the idea that there's individuals out there who think differently, react differently, and have different values from our own. And they look for women who are capable of falling under that and being totally trusting to that. Because to think that someone's going to lie to us and are capable of looking us straight in the eye and lying is hard to imagine. We want to trust. Now, here's something that's going to be really important to listen to. And apply this rule in your life. Write it down somewhere. You know, tape it to your mirror. Put it somewhere up on the door, but put it somewhere. As women, we oftentimes live by the golden rule. Treat onto others as we want them to treat onto us. Well, we treat people wonderfully. We expect them to treat us good. But when someone tells you, how dare you think that I could possibly lie to you? Let's take scenario one. How dare you think that I canceled our date to be with another woman? That is my sister. How could you possibly think that about me? I am not that type of person. So in scenario one, okay, so he said he would never lie to us. Now, taking the golden rule, you would treat him nicely, you expect him to treat you nicely. Let's reverse the golden rule. Are you being unreasonable as he's stating that you're being unreasonable? Well, let's find out. Would you ever dare impose upon him that same scenario of not showing up, standing him up for the date, and then seeing somebody else behind his back, and then turning around and lying about it? Would that make you unreasonable? Would you expect him to tolerate that? Absolutely not. The golden rule in reverse is if you would never do something to somebody in a million years, never even think to do something to somebody, then why would you tolerate that of someone else? Take it even further. Would you even do that to an enemy of yours, to someone you hate and can't stand? And if the answer is no, then don't tolerate that from somebody. Women who do tolerate this, who put up with it, are very easily manipulated. There are some men out there who look for women like that. They look for women who are needy, they're clingy, and are very easily persuaded, who are very much sweet and kind and loving and willing to trust. They use those good qualities in you to guilt you into thinking that you are wrong for questioning their motives, for questioning their integrity when they don't have any. Don't allow yourself to fall into that category. If you are questioning his motives or what might be going on and you have reason to think so, and he's trying to make you feel guilty for it, that is a very loud red flag that should not be ignored. A lot of men build harems this way. They have lots of women who they are dating, and all these women are exclusive to him. They're not dating anybody else other than him. And this happens several different ways. The first one is which is obvious, he's a cheater. He tells women that he loves them, that they're special, he makes them feel special, he does great things for them. But all along, he's lying to them and they're not even aware that he's dating other women. The other type of man who builds up harems is men who are honest and they tell you, I'm seeing other women. But they make you feel as if you should be devoted to them. The way this is done is the words that he uses. I would love to settle down and get married. I'm looking for the right woman that I can spend the rest of my life with. He's challenging you to try to be that right woman. Not that he's serious about you being that woman, but this is a technique. It's a tactic to build a harem. So when you hear these types of words, these types of phrases, things that you want to hear that you think would be the right things from the right guy, and you know he's dating multiple women, it's nothing more than a ploy. He said this same thing to all the other women that he's dating. I'm looking for the right woman. I can't wait to settle down and get married. He's hoping that because of that, you're going to stick around and that you're going to prove to him, at least you're going to try to make that attempt, to try to prove to him that you're that right woman, even if he doesn't believe that you're that woman. It's a trick. You could be the perfect woman, but that's beside the point. He's not the right guy. He's not somebody of integrity because he's not sincere about what he's saying. He's just using trickery to get all these women to stay with him. Having control over your emotions and your thoughts is really important when it comes to your dating life. For example, let's say that you're talking to somebody on the phone and you're enjoying the conversation. He gets another phone call and he says, I have to take this call. I'll call you back in a few minutes. You get off the phone and all of a sudden your mind starts to develop some thoughts. You know, I think we've all been guilty of that. I know I have. You wonder, well, who could be on the other line? Well, I hope it's not so-and-so. And one thing starts to build and it builds to the point that you're angry and frustrated. And in your mind, you've developed this whole elaborate story of what could have possibly happened. And I'm sure he's not going to call me back. And if he does, I'm just going to tell him off. And all of a sudden, you're angry. A few minutes later, he calls you back, just like he said he would. Completely unaware of what's happened. Here's another example. You go to sleep and you start to dream. And you're dreaming about your boyfriend. And in your dream, a woman comes along and she tries taking him away. And she does successfully take him away. You wake up the next morning and you're angry at your boyfriend and he hasn't even done anything. This is not having control over your emotions or your thoughts. And although you don't have control over your own dreams, at least having control over your emotions and having control over the aspect of knowing that this is a fabricated dream, that it's not real. Throwing that anger on him is not going to make your relationship strong. Having a grip over your emotions and your thoughts so that you don't damage your relationship is very important in having control over your dating life. Some other things that you need to remember when it comes to controlling your dating life. If you're worried that he's going to flake out on a date, that he's not going to show up, that he might be stood up, call him out on it. Say, look, I just want to make sure that you're not going to flake out on me. There's a lot of men out there who are flaky, and that I want to make sure that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Can I rely on the fact that you're going to be at the restaurant at 6 o'clock tomorrow? Yes, I'll be there. Wonderful. Look forward to meeting you. Most men, and again, most people, don't want to be viewed as liars. And if you try this technique, it's not very likely that he's going to flake out. And if he does, don't give him a second chance. Another way to control how things turn out on a date is if you meet him for the first time after you've talked to him online, is be honest about your profile. If you don't portray yourself honestly on the profile, when you meet him, you're going to be apprehensive that once he discovers whatever it is that you're insecure about, that he's going to get up and leave, or that you're not going to have that second date. If your profile is that misleading, then you're making something become a reality. You're going to be going on these dates and they're going to fail each and every time. And you're not having control over the situation, other than the fact that you're driving it into the ground. To have control over this situation, be honest on your profile. That way, when you meet him, you have control over the outcome, that it will be a positive outcome and not a negative one. And I cannot say enough about your safety. Have control over where you're going to meet the guy. If you don't feel safe going to his house, don't let him talk you into it. Stay in control over the situation. Only go where you feel safe. When it comes to sexuality, I don't want to sound like your mom. I don't want to say, Don't let a guy talk you into something you don't want to do, dear. But ladies, sometimes men get a little excited and they would like to be intimate with you. Have in your mind how far you want to take it. And even though he wants to be with you and he may like you a lot, he may truly be in love with you. But if you don't want to take it all the way, let him know. And then stand by your decision. So if you want to get close to a man, but without having to go to bed with him, how do you get that emotional comfort, the hugging, the squeezing, the touching, the affection from a man without always having to go to bed with him? In our next Keys to Bliss, we're going to talk about that very same subject. We're going to talk about sexuality, how to be sensual, how to get that love and affection, that caressing that you need, but without having to feel that you have to give in to sex in order to get it. How can you be sensual without having to come across as slutty or without having to come across as a tease? Well, I look forward to talking about that next month. This is going to be a really exciting topic because we really haven't stopped and talked about sexuality. So let's dig into that and really get a hold of how we can get the most out of it without feeling that we're degrading ourselves, but really feeling like we're glorified women. It's been really wonderful talking to you today. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email me. I look forward to hearing from you. And you can email me at Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, at keystobliss.com. Until next time, this is Emily McKay. Have fun.